Like I said, Brother Raji filled in last Wednesday, and then been praying about if we did do a series or just pop around on Wednesday night. Looks like I'm going to do a few weeks in a row here on prayer. And so tonight, the title of this sermon is A Successful Prayer Life. A Successful Prayer Life. And again, those of you that have one, are having one, are trying to get one, or holding on to one, you know it's work. It doesn't just happen. Now, I always try to grasp onto that one verse, pray without ceasing. Right there in 1 Thessalonians where rejoice evermore, those real short ones that everybody grabs a hold of at Bible camp to memorize those verses. And that one is pray without ceasing. And of course, that's, I would almost say it's impossible, because when you're sleeping, you're not going to be praying. Maybe it's pray without ceasing while awake. Hopefully we could, add that on. Maybe that's an understood thing. But that's a goal we all ought to do, is try to invite God everywhere. For instance, like if you are in traffic or you are in a situation and all of a sudden your temper flares, if we're praying without ceasing, we'll do one or two things. We'll say, Lord, help me not to react wrongly. Or we'll react wrongly, and of course, if we're saved, we'll have that immediate conviction of the Holy Spirit that's inside of us, and we ought to pray right then. Lord, I'm sorry. Help me to do better next time. Things like that. So I don't have a problem praying without ceasing because I mess up enough. And so that's why I was using that example there, because I mess up enough and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And so that's praying. That's asking God to forgive me. And then I'll say, Lord, please help me not to do that again. And so that's praying. And a lot of times, obviously, I've seen people, maybe they announce, whether, before Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff, they would just announce it publicly or out loud. I got up at 4 this morning and prayed an hour. I'm like, what do you want us to do? That's great. That's awesome. Some people don't have an hour to, to give and things like that. So, again, I see how it can become Pharisaical. And, of course, we have Bible stories in there about prayer and Pharisees. That we ought not do it in public. We ought not do it for a show. We ought not do it to pat ourselves on the back, things like that. It's a personal relationship with God. So really, how long? Pray without ceasing. It should be 24/7 unless you're asleep and so forth. But anyway, we see here a successful prayer life. That's something we ought to strive for. So let's get into it. Mark 11:24. So we were already there at Mark 11. And so verse 24, it says this, therefore, because of that, because we need a prayer life, because we need to talk to God, because we need to have a relationship with Him, because we need His help. I mean, we could just go keep on going to find out what that therefore is there for. Why? Why should we do this? Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, so anything that you desire, it says here, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Now, again, I took hermeneutics in college. Obviously, that's the context of what the Scripture is saying. Because obviously, we could take a piece of this verse, we could flip over 10 pages and take a piece of this verse, flip over 10 pages and find a piece of that verse, and we could create a religion. And it has been done. And so people have grabbed this and grabbed this and grabbed this, and they've created doctrine, they've created beliefs and things like that. So, same thing here. They could say, okay, this verse right here says, therefore, whatever you're praying for, whatever you want, whatever you desire, if you just believe, you'll have it. And so that's basically what they're saying. They're saying, okay, I'm going to pray, Lord, make me a millionaire, and I believe you can. And then I go look at my bank account, and I'm not even a thousandaire, okay, or even a hundredaire, okay, because it comes in, it goes out, that's life, amen? But some people say, you're just not believing hard enough. And then there's these religions out there, they say, okay, I'll help you, all right? You send me some seed money, is what they call it. And, you buy a brick on the gospel road here at my church, or you buy this prayer rug, and you buy this vial of miracle water for $1,000, and God will bless you, and you'll become. And so they steal things out of here. But what this is saying, let's look at it hermeneutically or in context. Therefore, we need our prayers answered. We need a relationship with God. The Bible says to do all things with supplication and so forth. And so pray about everything. So therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. So I believe in God. So that's who I'm praying to. I believe His Word. So in other words, He's not going to answer my prayer outside of the Word. He's not going to say, okay, you know, you've convinced me, I'm going to do for you what I've done for nobody else. No. He's not going to do that. So in our belief system here, we ought to believe in God, and He's able. Brother Roger even said it a while ago. God, we know you're the great physician. If you chose to heal whoever we were praying for a while ago, you could. We believe that. So that's what I'm saying. When we're praying, we can have that belief. Okay, so we ought to believe in His Word. But then we also ought to believe in His will. So in other words, God has a will. And He created every being in this world and created a will for that person. And so when we're praying, we ought to pray believing that, okay, God, I'm praying to You that I believe in. And I'm asking You to answer my prayer according to Your Word and according to Your will. Then you will have it. A couple other verses. Psalm 37:4 says this, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Okay, so a lot of people try to take that verse out of context. As long as I'm delighted in God, He'll give me the desires of my heart. And my desire is to be a millionaire. Or my desire is to have this person fall in love with me. Or my desire is to have this, you know, possession. That's what my desire is. And God, I'm trying to be happy in You. And You say right here, if I delight myself in You, You'll give me the desires of my heart. Let's look at the context and hermeneutically. In other words, if we're right with God and we are in His will and we're happy about it, okay, our desires is going to be His desires. He will answer those things. And so we can't take these prayer promises out of the Bible and twist them around to make God like a genie in a lamp. All right, give me $1 million. Or, you know, help me to have this or help me to have that. That's not what it's talking about. So, we ought to believe that God's able to answer any prayer. And we ought to live in a way that we're delighting in serving God and living God. Here's another verse. 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence. And so we can have confidence in what the Bible says and what God can do. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Why? Because we believe in Him. And we delight ourselves in serving Him and living like He wants us to do. And so then if our desires line up with His desires, then we will have those desires. But it says here, if we can have that confidence, that we have in Him, that is what, when we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And so if you take all the prayer promises and you put it in there, obviously we've got to believe in God. We've got to obviously trust in Him. We have to delight ourselves in Him. And anything that we ask, we ought to say, the Lord's will. And there's a verse in the Bible that says that. It says, you know, when I pray, I ought not pray, God, give me this, and God, give me this, and God, do this, and do that. No, if Thy will be done is how we ought to pray. So God's will is for everything that He created to bring forth fruit after His own kind. And of course, you study in the Old Testament and all the animals that He created, that animal is supposed to bring animals after His kind, and so forth. So humanly speaking, humans are supposed to bring forth other humans. The Bible likens it, or words it like this, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And so that's God's will. So if we're praying, obviously we ought to pray according to His will. So a human obviously ought to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Obviously there are some people that maybe they never get married, so that's not possible. Maybe they have a health condition where it's not possible. That doesn't make them second class, doesn't make them not right with God. All right, that was just His will. There are stories of that in the Bible. But we see here, humanly speaking, that we ought to be fruitful and multiply and replenish this earth. Spiritually speaking, we ought to be producing other Christians. And it says here, two kinds of fruit that a Christian is supposed to be producing is the fruit of being and the fruit of doing. And you can put any fruit that we're supposed to be doing into those two categories. Being. The being fruit is found, they're called the fruits of the Spirit. We're supposed to be a Christian, and we're supposed to be what God wants us to do. In Galatians 5:22, we're supposed to be doing this. We're supposed to be loving. We're supposed to be joyful. We're supposed to have peace. We're supposed to be long-suffering. We're supposed to be gentle. We're supposed to be doing good, and we're supposed to have faith in God. But in Galatians it says here, and this is the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. So we're supposed to be being, doing, we're supposed to be those things. And then the fruit of Doing is obviously producing other Christians. We're supposed to be winning Christians to the Lord. Other things that we can do to be, producing other Christians, we are to be discipling them with the Word of God. Discipling them can be in a Sunday school class. Discipling them can be in a church service. Discipling them could be just in conversation. What the Bible says. So we're supposed to be making other Christians by winning them to Christ, by discipling them, by encouraging them in their walk with God. So just our normal conversation with people at work, our neighbors, our relatives, things like that, and we encourage them in the Lord. We're trying our best to produce other Christians by praying for them. And anything else that we do to help them in their Christian life is producing other Christians. So when we leave this world, there should be somebody to take our place. And that's what Paul said to Timothy. All right, look, I've done my best, and God's allowed me to reach you. So we're just talking about me and you right now. And so then you are supposed to reach somebody else so you can commit the same to faithful men so that they can reach others also. And they can reach others also, and they can reach others also. So when we're praying, we ought to pray and believe in God and say, okay, I know your will, according to your will, and you'll give me those desires. So if we do this, we're going to need God's help. If we neglect our prayer life, we're going to be deficient in these areas of being and doing. I can't love like I should without asking God to help me. I can't have long suffering. I'm not very patient. I've got to have God's help. I can't produce other Christians without God's help. And so if I'm deficient in my prayer life, asking Him to help me be and to help me do, I'm going to be deficient. So that's why we ought to pray. Psalm 91:1 says this, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, and here's the promise, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So to have a successful prayer life, we're going to have to dwell in that secret place. And if we do that, and we ask Him to do things according to His will, we ask Him to do things according to His desires, if we say, God, I'm trying to be, I'm trying to do, we're there, we're going to live under the shadow of the Almighty. So the secret place could be, the Bible even gives you an example of a closet. When you enter into your closet, it'd be hard for me to get in there. There's too many shoes, there's too many shirts, there's too many other things like that. So I have other closets that I might could get in my house, but it gets a little stuffy in there. So it's not necessarily saying you're not right with God and you don't have a prayer life unless you get in a closet. It's just saying you need to have that secret place, and that secret place could be anywhere. So when we're in that secret place, what we do, we're meeting with God. We are pouring our hearts out to Him. We are worshiping Him and thanking Him for who He is. We are making our requests be made known to Him, the Bible says. And we are to let Him speak to us. So we need to find that secret place for those things to happen. So when He will reward you openly, the Bible says. So you're in that secret place, secret, nobody knows about it, privately. And the Bible indicates that He will reward you openly. And so when people go through life, obviously we heard tonight some people having some financial problems. That just happens and so forth. And you do what we did tonight. You pray. And so hopefully you pray in private and the Lord will take care of those things openly. And He's no respecter of persons. So if I pray, He can do that for me. If you pray, He can do that for you. But we need to go to that secret place and have that prayer life of praying without ceasing. So some benefits that a successful prayer life will do, and we'll get into the outline. Number one, a successful prayer life, what it'll do is, number one is this, it will produce spiritual power. It will produce spiritual power. Now, of course, I watched cartoons when I was growing up, and there was the superheroes. You had Superman. He had superpowers. He could leap tall buildings in a single bound. He could see things, so far away. He was mighty strength. He could run fast, all that stuff. He had superpowers. And of course, you could go through all of them, the Wonder Twin powers. They could touch their rings together, and they could be a shape of this and a form of this, things like that. And they had superpowers. Now, I came to the realization that was all fictitious. Oh wow! Superman really? I didn't think there was any kryptonite, and that was the thing. So when I heard about spiritual power as a kid, I'm thinking, well, flying's not for real. All right, I wished I could do it. Being super strong was not possible. Those superheroes were fake. So spiritual power, is that fake too? It's not. Now, obviously, you know, we've heard of stories where people have picked up things that were twice as, three times their weight and helped save somebody. There's been situations like that. And I believe God helps and so forth. But when we have a successful prayer life, it will produce spiritual power. Again, not to bring satisfaction or glorification to ourselves. Spiritual power helps us glorify God. And so that's what God's going to do. So a couple things underneath that. If I had asked it, if you have asked for it and live in a way that God can give it to you, you will get that power. Because we can pray all day long, God give me power, God give me spiritual power, God give me spiritual power. But there's things in this book that says that if we're doing, He's not going to do it. So there's a thing like this. God, help me to be a good Christian. Help me to be a good mate to my wife. Help me to be a good parent to my kids. Help me to be a good friend to my friends. Help me to be a good employee. Help me to be a good, and we can just keep on going. And God says He will do that. He can give you the spiritual power. And if you're going to be a good Christian, you're going to have spiritual power. Can't do it in your own. If you're going to be a good husband or wife, you're going to have spiritual power. You can't do it on your own and be a successful one. You can't be a good parent if you don't have spiritual power. Help. God, help me. I don't know what to do. Again, your kids will help bring you to the end of your rope. What in the world? You're going to have spiritual power. Same way with friends. Same way with at work. You're going to have it. But people try so many different ways to get it. Okay, and we're going to see in a little bit those examples of things that we should stay away from if we want God to give us that spiritual power. But people try so many different ways to get spiritual power. The Bible likens it to strange fire, is what the Bible calls it. Strange fire. There was people that did things that were like, whoa, how in the world did you do that? Strange fire. So just like God has spiritual power, Satan has demonic power. And there's things out there that people try to dabble in and so forth. But in the spiritual realm, here's some things that people try to do. And the Bible calls them strange fire. They try to get that spiritual power through music. Now, music is important. It's about God. It's lifting up God. But it's not going to give us any spiritual power. Now, you might get a chill bump or a cold chill or woohoo. I like that song. That's good. All right? And that's a feeling, but that's not spiritual power. Okay? A goosebump from a song is not going to help you be the right kind of parent. It'll help. It's awesome. But a lot of people, they go to music. And some people call them diesel sniffers. In other words, they go to wherever all the singing groups are. And I'm for it. I like to go hear them. Right? But some people, that's just what they do. All their whole life is followed because they're trying to get that spiritual power. It comes from God, not music. Some people get it from, they try to get it from dancing. Now, dancing is in the Bible. You know, because some people, Christians ought not dance. All right? But there is dancing in the Bible. And there's a kind that when Moses was up on the mountain, they created the golden calf. And they danced around the golden calf, and they were naked. All right. So I'm not thinking spiritual dancing is going to have anything to do with taking your clothes off. Okay? But the Bible says David danced. David danced. Now, he was excited. He was jumping up and down. He was like, this is awesome. He couldn't contain himself. I think that type of dancing is okay. But if it's got anything to do with gyration and anything to do with moves of any type of sexual connotation or taking your clothes off, I guarantee you it's the wrong time. Okay. But anyway, we see that some people, that's what they do. They try to work up the spiritual power in music, dancing. Here's one. They try to work it up in staging. And this is rampant in the churches today. With taking all this down, painting this purple, shining lights here and there, maybe a fog machine over here, woo-wee-hoo. Trying to work up all the... That's not where the power comes from. It's not in lights, it's not in colors, it's not in smoke. Here's another one, speaking in tongues. I mean, they even tell you, you can't be right with God if you can't either speak in tongues or interpret them. This book says right here it's better to speak one word in a known tongue than many words in an unknown tongue. And so the power of God came down that day and the people heard in their language. It wasn't blah, 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 blah. All right. So they were trying to work it up in music and work it up in dancing and work it up in staging and work it up in tongues. And then some people, I think you have to be educated to get the power of God. And again, nothing wrong with being educated. I'm good with it. But the Bible says that they were ever learning, but they never came to the knowledge of the truth. So in other words, they wanted this degree, and they wanted to master this book, and they wanted to do this, and wanted to do that. It's not about that. That's not where the power comes from. It doesn't come from that. And then there's those out there that have the list of do's and don'ts. This is all my do's, this is all my don'ts, and that makes me powerful. You can have hundreds of do's and hundreds of don'ts. That's not where the power comes from. The power comes from God. It says here, the power of an individual or even on an entire church is not based on the age. Okay? I'll get strong. I mean, obviously physically you get stronger the older you get, but spiritually speaking, if you get saved and you're saved for 15 years, but you haven't read any of this and put any of this into practice, you haven't found that secret place, you haven't tried to please God, you're immature. Your spiritual growth has been retarded. And so we see here it's not based on age. Well, I'll just grow into spiritual power. It's not going to happen. Well, it's not based on what we've done in the past. Well, I used to, and I did. Well, that's not where the power comes from. It doesn't last. How much Bible you know and how much time you spend in prayer. But it's the prayer that goes up is how the power comes down. So we see that if we're going to be successful in praying to God, it's going to produce spiritual power, but we have to believe and we have to delight ourselves in the Lord. He has to do it. So we can't depend on our religious exercises. We need the power of God in our life, in our church. The power is not in the gathering. The Bible says that where two or three gathered together, He's in the midst. But that doesn't guarantee us power. It's not in the gathering. It's not in the music. Even though the music tonight was wonderful, those two hymns were great. It's not even in what I'm doing right now. Me preaching up here is not zip-zappity-zooping you with some power. It's not. It's not in the preaching. It's in the power of God. It's God. So preaching, music, gathering, teaching, all that stuff, those are tools that we can use, and they're good things, but the power comes from God. So when the power of God is in those tools, it will be evident. Sometimes there is power in music, and you can feel the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can feel the power of God, and in preaching, and in teaching, and in gathering. Just felt the power of God, but that power is from God, not in those other things. So prayer leads to spiritual power that we need to be the right kind of Christian, to see people saved, to help our homes be ran the correct way, to raise our kids, to help and our friends and loved ones and so forth. The power is from God. So what will a successful spiritual prayer life produce? It will produce power. Number two, it will produce success. It will produce success. The only place that's found is in Joshua. And Joshua, obviously, he found the way of success. What did he do? He prayed and asked God to bless what he was doing. And the power come from God and caused the success. So maybe not as the world sees success, but definitely the way God views success. So we shouldn't blame God when there isn't success. That's what sometimes the devil will tell us to do. Okay, I've tried and there's no success, so it's God's fault. It's not God's fault. So then we say, I've tried and I've prayed, and God's power is the problem. No, He's got unlimited amount of power. So it's not God, it's not even God's power. The next thing, well, it's just in God's ability to get it here. No, it's not. It's not God's fault at all. James 4:2 says this, you lust and you have not. Ye kill and you desire to have. And cannot obtain, you fight and you war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. There it is right there. I mean, we try to get, it says here, you lust, you desire it, you covet it, you want it so bad. I mean, even to the point, I'd kill for it. I desire to have it so bad, but I just can't get it. I fight and I war and I kick against the pricks is what the Bible said, things like that. And all this, I bang my head against the wall and I don't have it. And God says, hey, you don't have it because you don't ask for it. You have not because you ask not. And so God's saying here, look, don't try to have spiritual power in music and your own spiritual life and all these other things. No, just ask me for it. Don't try to work it up in all these other ways. Don't try to be successful. No, just ask me for it. So we have to ask God for His power. And so what will a successful prayer life do? It'll produce that spiritual power. It'll produce successes. Next thing we see, a prayerful person will be a successful person. A prayerful person will be a successful person. In other words, we see maybe it's something that we're trying to attempt or to accomplish, and we're like, I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I can't make that happen. And so, lo and behold, we hit our knees and say, God, You give me this opportunity, and I feel like You want it done, but I can't. But if You'll help me, I'll do my best. And the power of God comes down in their success. Then we don't get up and say, look at me. Look at what I figured out. Look at what I did. No. I didn't know what I was going to do. I prayed, but God, and we give God the credit. So that's what a prayerful person will be, a successful person. A prayerful person will continue in life when it seems like everything is against him. Well, just keep praying. A prayerful person will look at his life and see some defeats, and they probably stem from a lack of prayer, and they'll pray harder. A prayerful person will look at several avenues of help, but they'll always come back to God and ask Him. And so how do I, God? How? God will meet us anytime that we want to talk to Him. And the good thing about God, He's always there. He's never on vacation. He's never taking a nap. He doesn't charge by the hour. Anybody else's heart, I'll see you in 6 months. On a Thursday, I got availability. I can talk to you then. God doesn't have that. His appointment book's always open. And then that person that you wait for 6 months to go talk to, and they're just like looking at you, then they send you a bill for $1,000. Okay, God doesn't charge by the hour. Talk to Him. So we see that He's always available. He doesn't charge by the hour. Sometimes we don't go to that secret place and pray because we know what we're going to have to deal with when we get there. It's kind of like when I was in trouble growing up. I didn't want to talk to my dad. I didn't want to be in the same room with him. I didn't want to see my mom. Why? Because I knew what was coming. Because I had done something. And so that's what keeps us out of that secret place sometimes, is because if I go in there, if I start talking to God, I'm going to say, God, I need this. Whoa, time out. Let's talk about this. I don't want to talk about that. That's not what I come for. I came to talk about this. And then God usually says, no. Let's talk about this, and then we'll get to that. So we see here a successful prayer life. What will it do? It'll produce spiritual power. It'll produce success. Thirdly, what will a successful prayer life produce? Number three, it'll produce strength. It'll produce strength. Sometimes we'll do something and people will say, how did you do that? Well, not in my own strength. I just asked God to help and He did it. Isaiah 40 verse 31, very familiar verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Not a little hummingbird. I'm talking eagle. And when the eagle's in trouble, he puts those little sunglasses that's built in and flies straight to that sun. And nobody can touch him. Nobody can even find him because he gets lost in the sun. And nobody can go that high. That's what God's saying. Hey, if you wait on me, if you serve me, if you depend on me, if you'll pray to me, you shall receive strength. You'll mount up with wings like eagles. You'll run and not be weary. I can run from here to the back door. I'm tired. It says here, you'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. So what will a successful prayer life produce? It'll produce strength. Strength to what? Resist Satan. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says here, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. If you read over, and I believe it's in 2 Peter, and then also in Job, indicates that the devil goes to and fro throughout this earth, seeking whom he may devour. But God's eyes, the eyes of the Lord, run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why? It says here, to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. If we're right with him and we're praying for him, the Bible says he wants to show up. He wants to give us that strength. He wants to answer those prayers. He wants to help us resist Satan. Then what will that strength also do? It'll help us to have the right desires. We read it earlier, Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. What it'll give strength to do? It'll give us strength to run that race that's set before us. We won't take time to read that verse, but you know the Bible says, let us all run that race that's set before us. It tells us that we're going to have to lay aside those heavy weights that would slow us down in those besetting sins. And it tells us to let us run with patience. The only way we can have patience in that run, I'm promising you, is to be praying to God and ask Him. So a successful prayer life will produce spiritual power. It will produce success. It will produce strength. Number four, it will produce a strategy. A strategy. Obviously, if you've ever played pickup football in the backyard, a lot of times they'll rub out a place in the dirt and they'll take a stick. And this is the strategy. Okay, this guy right here, he's slow. All right, so you're going to go right past him and you'll be wide open. This guy over here, he's not very quick. Go and set. You go this way. He'll not have a clue. They're coming up with a strategy. How to win. How to be successful. So a prayer life will help us have the right strategy. And so there's things in the Bible. It says here, prayer is nothing more than talking to God. And it says here, we usually don't like to talk to people that we're not in fellowship with. We talked about that already. But if we're praying without ceasing, we're right with Him. Our strategy should be to stay right with God so that we can ask Him anything about anything at any time. So again, I've mentioned this before. You know, if we're not right with God and a loved one goes to the hospital or something is, you know, we need to pray about something immediately, it's going to be hard to talk to God when we're confessing our sins. But if we have that strategy, I want to stay right with Him so that He can answer my prayers at any time. In other words, there's an open door and a closed door. You've heard that before. God opened this door or God closed this door. He can do those things. And we see here, we're limited, but God's not. Prayer is asking God to do what we can't. Don't try to work things out on your own. Ask God. Some of us, like myself, hard-headed, I'll just kick the door down. And, you know, bless God, if it needs to be open, I'll open it. I'll figure out a way. I'll get a chainsaw. I'll lock the hubs. Bless God, we'll get that door open. That's not the way to do it. All right? Our strategy should be, okay, God, what are we doing here? Let's come up with a plan. All right, how do we do this? How can we be successful at it? And so forth. And promise you, raising kids will put you to that place right there. Well, what do I do? I've tried this, and I've tried this, and I've tried this. I'm so frustrated. Have you prayed and asked God? Well, no, I didn't do that. Well, duh. Let's try that. That's what we see here. The strategy is ask God. Don't try to work it out. It says here, I don't want God to put me on the shelf. Here's a strategy. I don't want God to put me on the shelf. And again, that's you know, spiritually speaking or service speaking or whatever. Don't disqualify myself. I don't want God to put me on the shelf. I don't want to do anything that would make Him say, okay, I'm through using you. My strategy is be useful. Stay right with Him. We got to go quickly. So you will never get too old or too feeble to not be able to pray. I mean, we can pray. No matter how old or disabled we get, we still need to pray. If we have kids, they still need prayer. If we have grandkids, they still need prayer. Our church will still need prayer. Our missionaries back there on that back wall will still need prayer. Our nation definitely needs prayer. So our strategy is, I don't want to get put on the shelf. Well, stay right with God and we can always pray. I may not be able to go knock doors one day, but I can pray. I may not be able to preach a sermon, but I can pray. I may not be able to teach a Sunday school class, but I can pray. My strategy is I'm always going to talk with God, no matter what's going on in my life. So the work of God goes forward on the wings and the prayers, not hypes and programs and other things that we've looked at tonight. I want something to do. We'll pray. A lot of people that get saved, they get in church, they say, what can I do? Pray. Well, I don't do that. That's in the secret place. Nobody sees that. Yeah. That's what, you know, but everybody wants the scene jobs. Not everybody. Some people want the scene jobs. Some people don't want the scene jobs. Don't mention it. Just let me just do this quietly. And again, that's between us and God. So, but we can always pray. It's going to be hard work. It takes determination. It takes faithfulness. It takes inspiration. I can pray. It takes guts. And so my strategy is I can pray. My next strategy is I want to stay right with God in case I have to pray about something life-changing. It'll produce that spiritual power. It'll produce success. It'll produce strength. It'll produce a good strategy. And lastly, it'll produce, and I just use this word to keep the S's there, it'll produce a shout. Now, the shout is the excitement, the joy. Now, again, I get it. Personality gets involved in that. And I've used this illustration before. You can have two people at the game, and they both love this team just as much. And the home run happens, or the touchdown happens, or the three-point shot happens, and one will just jump up and absolutely go berserk. Loud, obnoxious, blah, and the other one's like, woohoo. All right. But they love the same. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you have to shout to be right with God or shout to have a prayer life, but I'm just using S for the excitement. Psalm 16:11 says this, thou wilt show me the path of life. So God, when I'm praying for you a successful prayer life, when I'm praying, David said, thou wilt show me the path of life. So that's why I'm praying. That's why I'm asking you. Show me. What you want me to do? But then it says here, in thy presence. When I got in here, I came in here because I needed an answer. I came in here because I needed you to show me what to do. But when I got in here, and I realized who I was talking to, and his abilities, it says here, the presence is the fullness of joy. Sometimes you get in there and you'll just forget why you went in there. Because you're telling him how awesome he is and thanking him for what he's done for you. And David, he realized that. He was that man after God's own heart, sinned with Bathsheba. I wonder if I could ever get back to a relationship with God. But he got in there and he forgot all about it. Because he realized God forgot all about it. And he says, just thy presence, there's fullness of joy. I'm glad to be talking to you. I'm glad to be in here. I'm glad to be able to come to the throne. And the Bible says we can all come boldly. It says here, at the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Again, I've had those different types of prayer times in my life, and I try. My strategy is to talk to God all the time about everything. And that's what we all should do. So I don't want to get involved in a lot of things where, you know, personally, between me and God. You have yours, I'll have mine. But I can say that there's excitement. And there's joy. And there's gladness when you're talking to Him. That fullness, and that's what David says. Man, I came in here to ask you to show me the path of life. Then I felt that presence and that love from you. And man, there's nothing. There's pleasure forevermore. So he says, we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We don't have to call anyone else on the phone. He's there waiting on us. He will never tell us, I'll get back with you. He's the wisest person we'll ever talk to. He'll never tell us discouraging issues. A lot of times you'll go to that friend where you feel like, you know, I just got to tell them because they'll understand and they'll come back to me. And you pour your heart out and they don't give you the pat on the back or the I'll pray for you. They try to tell a story that's worse. That's not what I came here for. We're not playing, you know, competition between who's got it the worst. But a lot of times when you talk to a friend, that's what happens. God's not going to say, wait a minute. I had to give my only son. Now just hold on a second. You know, I watched him get beat with a cat of nine tails. He's not going to do that. When we go in there and we start talking to him, he's just going to listen. He's going to understand. So he's not going to give us his discouraging issues back. We'll never hear a discouraging word from the Lord. He just listens to our heart. And the Bible even says that sometimes when we can't even say it, I don't even know how to pray this, the Holy Spirit will interpret it for us. So God, just being there gives you that shout, that encouragement. So we see here Fanny Crosby wrote this, O pure delight of the single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with my God, I commune as friend with friend. I think she understood that fullness of joy because she couldn't see. But she could feel His presence when she talked to Him. Another one she wrote, "Draw me nearer, Lord." Or, "Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to that precious bleeding side." So when you get in that presence and you feel that, nothing greater. It'll produce that shout. So a successful prayer life will produce spiritual power that we need to do anything. If we have any success, it'll be because of God's prayer and His power. It'll give us strength. It'll give us a strategy. And lastly, it'll give us a shout. I'm sorry, second to the last will give us a shout. And thirdly, or lastly, it'll give us that safety, that security. I am His and He is mine. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He will walk with me and talk with me and tell me that I am His own. It'll give us that security. So in conclusion, prayer changes things. You see that bumper sticker. I saw one, or I read about one that said, "Prayer changes things." And then the next line it says, "So why are we in such a mess?" And so I got to wondering about that. If prayer changes things, why aren't we such a mess? First of all, because a lot of people might not be praying. Prayer changes things, but if you're not praying, we're going to be in a mess. If prayer changes things, the Bible says if we regard iniquity in our heart, He will not hear us. So we might be praying, but we've got that hidden sin, so He's not hearing us. That's why we're in such a mess. The Bible also says, hey, you're praying, but you're praying amiss. In other words, "Hey, Lord, help us have this." We're praying amiss. That's why we're in such a mess. How about this one? The Bible talks about vain repetition. There's some of them get their rugs and they go, I don't even know how many times a day they do it these days. You know, they just say stuff over and over and over. Vain repetition. That's why we're in such a mess. So, but when we're praying, we have to pray from our heart, believing in Him, like that first verse said, delighting ourselves in Him, like that second verse said, and letting God's will be done. That's when we pray, we'll be right with God, and it'll be a genuine, and that's when we'll be successful. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. Lord, thank You for the opportunity of prayer. Obviously, thank You for all the principles that we saw in the Bible tonight. Lord, help us realize we just need to talk to You. That we might have that specific place, but if we ever tell somebody about where it is or what it is, it's not secret anymore. It's not specific anymore. So, Lord, there are some things that we don't share about prayer. Lord, it's between us. But, Lord, we have these promises, Lord, if we'll not regard iniquity, we'll get rid of that sin. You'll hear us. We don't just flippantly ask amiss. You'll hear us. Lord, if we don't, help us not to get vain repetitious. Lord, help us to be genuine and talk to You. And Lord, I just ask You to help us all, Lord, to have that successful prayer life. Then things will be changed. In Jesus' name, amen.